Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
We're up to part number three of our series that's simply called Own It. Here we go. Part number one was 2 weeks ago. If you haven't heard it, jump online, watch it online. I can't have the life I want until I own the life I have. All right, remember that? You can't have the life you want until you own the life that you have. Part two, own it, part two. My heart is my responsibility and I need to own it. How many of you have got a heart? Praise God. 18 of you have got a heart, said Enjoy Church. The rest of you, no, I shouldn't say heartless, that would sound wrong. How many of you got a heart, said Enjoy Church? All right, if you've got a heart, you've got to own it. Don't get your mama to own it. Don't get your spouse to own it or anyone else to own it. You've got to own it. Here we go, part number three. Own it, part three. I need to own it. I need to take responsibility. I need to take responsibility. You say, Shane, you need to take responsibility for what? I need to take responsibility for everything I am responsible for. All right, I got to own it. You've got to own it. Everything that you are responsible for, that is what you need to own. For my actions, I am responsible for my actions. I need to own them. For my words, I need to take responsibility for my words. I need to own them. For my attitudes, I need to take responsibility. And not just for my actions, words, and attitudes, but also for the consequences of my actions, words, and attitudes. Are you with me, church? We need to take ownership of that which we are responsible for. We live in a time and a place in history where so many people are looking to shirk responsibility. They want to push it away. They don't want to be responsible, not for themselves, not for others, not for their words, not for their actions, not for their attitudes. They're looking to press the burden, transfer the burden of responsibility onto others. So many don't want to be responsible for their actions, words, attitudes, or the consequences thereof. Now, when I was an assistant pastor, it's like when I was a child many, many years ago, when I was an assistant pastor back in Morwell, one of the things we had to do each year was take up an annual census for the Australian Christian churches, which was then with the Assemblies of God. It was my responsibility. How many of you know administration is one of my fortes? As in, God's given us all gifts. Whatever. As in, administration isn't necessarily one of mine. So why they gave this responsibility to me, I will never know. But anyway, we had to do the census. It came around every year. I remember one year we did the census. I was responsible for handing out all the paperwork. I was responsible for bringing back in, collating it, putting it together, putting it into the box, taping up the box, putting the address on the box and getting it ready to go and sending it off to head office, wherever that was, in Sydney at the time. So I get the paperwork. I give it all out. We do the census in church. We collate it after church. I put it in the box. I tape it up and out she goes. And so about 3 months later, Pastor Mark comes to me and he goes, Shane, remember when we did the census? And I'm like, yeah, I remember doing the census. That's my responsibility. I got to do that. I know what I had to do. And he goes, what did you do with it? And I said, what do you mean what I did with it? What did I do with it? I gathered all information. I put it in the box. I taped it up, put the address on it. And he goes, what did you do with it? And I'm like, can I get back to you? So I went out to the front, went under the information desk out the front, and sure enough, there it was, sitting right there. How many of you know I had to walk back in? I could have just chucked it in the mail. No, you're looking at me like, really? Well, I could have just put it in the mail and off she went and said nothing more, but how many of you know that's not what I did? I had to go back in and you got to own it. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. If you do the wrong thing, can I encourage you, just own it. I got it wrong. It slipped my mind. I said, I did that, but I didn't do that. And so I put it under there and it stayed there. But then we set it off and it was all good. But you got to own it. Everyone say, own it. It's a little bit like when Louise and Anton wanted to get married. How many of you know marriage is a good thing? Especially when it's legal, you know what I'm saying? Hello. As in, when they wanted to get married, how many of you know marriage is a good thing? And it's like, this is going to be my first wedding that I've ever done. You know what I'm saying? And so they asked me to marry them. What an honor. So we go to the chapel. We go down to Essendon there. We go to the church. They signed the registry. They signed the certificates. It was incredible. What an amazing day it was. It's my responsibility now to make sure those certificates get to birth, deaths, and marriages. How many of you know that is my burden? That is my responsibility. And so about 18 months later, Louise rings up and she goes, just out of curiosity, I'm just wondering, when you married us, remember, we got married. And it was like, she goes, I'm just wondering what you did with everything, because birth, deaths and marriages have no record of us ever getting married. 18 months on. All of a sudden, I don't mean to point the finger, but they were living in sin for 18 months. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not judging them. You know what I'm saying? I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, no record for 18 months. Pastor Louise, Arioka, and the Dr. Anton, they're living in sin, or whatever. All right. So she goes, what did you do with the certificate? And I'm like, don't put pressure on a brother. So I thought, I know what I did with it. I put it in the boot of the car. So, or if I was in America, I put it in the trunk. And so I went downstairs and I opened the boot, and there it was. It is all still there. So I sent off the birth, deaths, and marriages. And after 18 months, I were married. Praise God. How many of you know you've got to put your hand up and say, I am responsible. I own this. I got it wrong. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. Sometimes we just get it wrong, and you have to own it. How many of you have ever had a situation where, because of your actions, your words, your attitudes, you reaped a harvest of consequences you weren't necessarily believing for or expecting? All right. It's just like all of a sudden you're eating this harvest and you're like, I don't like this harvest. There's a harvest coming in. You're like, I don't like this harvest. And it's like, but the reality is the harvest has come in because of your actions, your words, and your attitudes. How many of you have ever been in a situation where, because of your actions, words, or attitudes, someone else ended up reaping a harvest of consequences that they weren't necessarily believing for, expecting, or wanting? You know what? When this happens, when this is your reality, you know what you've got to do, don't you? You simply got to own it. Everyone say, own it. You got to own it. We get it wrong. We make mistakes. Stuff goes awry. When it does, you just got to own it. We, like I said, we live in a generation where we just want to blame someone else, pass it on in a different direction. But that is not the heart of God. That's not the will of God. God wants us to be a people who own it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're going to read together from verse 6. 1 Samuel 22 from verse 6. Now Saul heard that David and his men had been discovered. And Saul, spear in hand, was seated under the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, with all his officials standing around him. Saul said to them, "Listen, men of Benjamin, will the son of Jesse give all of you fields and vineyards? Will he make you all the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds? Is that why you have all conspired against me? No one tells me when my son makes a covenant with the son of Jesse. None of you is concerned about me or tells me that my son has incited my servant to lie in wait for me as he does today. But Doeg," now I'm not too sure about the pronunciation of this. Is it Doeg or dog, or is he just a dog? I'm not too sure. Doeg is dog, Doeg, 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 the Doeg, the dog, the Doeg. It's probably Doeg, but he's a bit of a dog. How many of you have got some Doegs in your life? But Doeg, the Edomite, not the Vegemite, the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, "I saw the son of Jesse come to Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, at Nob." Ahimelech inquired of the Lord. I know there's a mouthful here going on. It's all right. It's Bible. It's Bible. You can laugh at me, but it's the word of the Lord. All right. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He also gave him provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent for the priest Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, and his father's whole family, who were the priests at Nob. And they all came to the king. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." "Yes, my lord," he answered. Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me as he does today." Ahimelech answered the king, "Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard and highly respected in your household? What was that day the first time I inquired for him?" And we know the answer to that. "Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair." But the king said, "You will surely die. Ahimelech, you and your father's whole family." Then the king ordered the guards at his side, "Turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. They knew he was fleeing, yet they did not tell me." But the king's officials were not willing to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. The king then ordered Doeg, "You turn and strike down the priests." So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priests, with its men and women, its children and infants, its cattle, donkeys and sheep. But Abiathar, a son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests of the Lord. Listen to this, verse 22. Then David said to Abiathar, "That day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe with me.'" Now, I don't know if this is David's darkest day, but it certainly has to be one of them. Got one of his darkest days in all of his life. He certainly had many dark days, but I feel for him in the realization that he played a part in the death of this whole family. Friends, I want to encourage you today, because all of the priests here are put to death by the sword, and David is now feeling the burden and the responsibility of that. I feel for him, and I also admire him. I admire him because he wasn't prepared to say nothing a second time. I say a second time because there was a first time that he should have spoken up. There was a first time where he should have rose up as a man of God and said, "I can see what's going to happen here." He says himself, "I knew what was going to happen here," but he didn't actually do anything. He was aware that something was going to go down here, but he didn't rise up. He was aware that there's something surely bad is going to come of this, but he didn't do anything. But this time, the second time, he puts up his hand and he says, because he realizes 85 innocent people are dead because I did not do anything. 85 innocent people have died now because I did not speak out. But he wasn't prepared to do it a second time. This time, when he could have said nothing, this time when he could have just let it go through to the keeper or said, "This has got nothing to do with me," he didn't actually do that, but he put up his hand and he owned it. Everyone say, "Own it." You gotta own it. He owned the situation. He owned the moment. And he said, "I am responsible for all of this happening. I am responsible." Friends, where is the generation of men and women of God that will put up their hand and say, "I'm gonna own it. I've made a mistake. I gotta own it. I should have stepped up. I gotta own it. I was part of something that I shouldn't have been a part of. And I'm gonna own it." He owned it. 1 Samuel 22, reading verse 22. Then David said to Abiathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, 'I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family.'" David knew he was responsible because in the moment he said nothing. In the moment he did nothing. All right, so Shane, are we changing the rules here now? Are we changing the rules of play? Because did something just change? Because from what you're saying now, did the rules change? The rules change from being responsible for our actions, our words, and our attitudes to now also being responsible for the consequences of our lack of actions and words also? Could it be that we won't only be held for account to account by the Lord for what we do say and what we do do, but is it also possible that we're also actually going to be held to account for what we don't say and what we don't do? Now, this is going to get funky, all right? We're good today. All right, we're good, because I'm going to help you out, because I believe that many of us may be involved in some stuff that we really don't want to be involved in. It's like we may not be doing this, this, or this, but because we're not doing this or this, we end up wearing the same consequences. You say, really? Let's go here for just a little bit. If the consequences of us saying and doing nothing are detrimental to ourselves or others, absolutely. Friends, we're going to be held to account. I want to encourage you, the Lord is always watching, the Lord is always looking. Think about it this way, James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, everyone say, therefore. To one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. All right, did you hear that? All right, we're gonna grow this morning. We're gonna receive something today which is gonna help us in our life. How many of you are still believing for some of the asks of 2018 to be answered in 2019? How many of you are still believing for your prayers to be answered? Give me a wave. How many of you are still believing for suddenlies in God? All right, I'm going to help you, because this word today is going to help you to run free, and it's going to help your suddenlies to come a whole lot quicker. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, this is considered sin. So sin isn't just about what you may be doing. Sin is also about when you don't do what you know you ought to do. Sin is about not stepping up into the space, into the place, and being the man and woman of God that God has called you to be. So you don't know what you don't know, but when you do know what you do know, then you've got to own it. That's when you really rise up and be the man or woman of God. Am I going to say that it won't cost you to stand up? No, it will cost you to stand up. But how many of you know, Jesus has already been to the cross. He's shown us the way. If we want to be his disciples, we need to pick up his cross daily and follow after him. So cost is part of the journey as a Christian. This is what we do. This is how we live. Now, here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 1. Therefore, since we have such so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside. Everyone say, lay aside. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The sin that so easily entangles us. All right. Isn't necessarily the big sin. Now you say big sin, little sin. How many of you know sin is sin? I say big sin to reveal this is how we think about things. This is big sin. This is little sin. Now, little sin, it's like a white lie. You know what I'm talking about. Well, it wasn't really a lie. It was like a white lie. Liar! All right, you know what I'm saying though, don't you? It's like we would like to say, well, it wasn't a lie. It was like an exaggeration. It's a lie. We think big sin, little sin. David was an adulterer. David was a murderer. He murdered his friend. We'll get there in a minute. But how many of you know that sin is no different to this sin? The sin that so easily entangles us isn't necessarily the big sin. We all get murder. We all get adultery. We get this level of sin. And it's like, no, we don't want to be there. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I say we don't want to be there. Amen. So we're like, we're not going there. But then when it comes to this end of the pool, it's like, well, it's not that end of the pool. It's like, it's not that bad. This is the sin that so easily entangles us. It wasn't the big sin like that the big so easily entangles us. The sin that so easily entangles us isn't the big sin like when David slept with Bathsheba and then effectively murdered her husband, who is both loyal and faithful as a soldier. The sin that so easily entangles us and causes so many to drop off in their faith, so many to stop running the race, is what I would call the look away sin. Everyone say look away. It's the look away sin. As a result, people die, friends die, families die, simply as a result of this sin, and we just turn away because we don't see it as being adultery or murder. It's not that, it's like, it's this end. So we start out our race. How many of you know we are in a race together? Do we have any runners in the house? Are there any runners that want to race today? Are there any runners? Praise God. There's a runner. Come up here, young running man. Let's give it up for the running man himself, who has run all the way. Actually, you might want to stand right out here on this. This might work for us, hey? All right, so are you running?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where have you run from?
Japan.
Japan. Oh. All right, so start running then. No, just here. Oh, that's good. All right, you run. All right, so keep running. All right, once you start running, don't stop running. All right, once we put our shoulder to the plow, we keep running, is that right? We're going to keep at it. Praise God. I like this guy. So we start our race. We're walking by faith. We're living by faith. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Remember last week we talked about when you get together with your little group. Remember we talked about that? It's like everybody is wrong except your little group. We get together, we have discussion. Remember the translation? Good job. So we get together with our little group and then we begin to gossip, or maybe we're not even in the discussion. Maybe we're sitting with our little group and someone there is beginning to gossip about another friend who is not there. So what do? We know this is wrong. Like David in that room, he knew this guy is over here. He's seen me here. This is wrong. I know what's going to happen. As a result of this, my brothers and sisters are being put to the sword. I think it's interesting, the priests, how many of you know, we are all priests in Christ Jesus. And so as a result of him doing nothing, now all the priests are being put to the sword, 85 of them. So we're in a situation where we're sitting there with our little group and what happens, someone begins to talk, we're talking about someone who's not in the group, and then all of a sudden, rather than actually doing anything, we look away. We just do what David did. Choked. We look away. And what happens? We've got someone here. What happens? You know what happens when we look away? This is what happens. All right, this is what happens. All right. I am here to serve you, young man. Grasshopper. See, one hand, left hand at that, just like that. See? All right. So, but you keep running. It's not as easy as it was, is it? But he didn't actually do anything. He just looked away. It wasn't as though he committed murder or adultery or anything. He just looked away. And then you have a fight with your wife, or you have a fight with your husband. Not that we ever fight in the marriages in Enjoy Church. But we have an argument and we say something we shouldn't have said. It was just flat out mean, nasty. You know the soft spot in your spouse where if you want to get low, you just and it gets that response and it's like, but what do you do? What do we do? Do we actually own it, or do we just sort of, make the statement and then we walk away? Well, that's what typically happens. We don't figure we need to go back and actually do anything here, so we walk away. But you know what happens when we walk away? This is what happens. All right. We may need some more. Thank you, Christy. You're good? If you can see his face, I say, are you good? Yeah. All right, how many people do you see in the foyer? Yeah. Are you good? Yeah. It's not as easy now, is it? Not easy. Then the finger is being pointed at someone who is innocent of what they're being accused of. Maybe a teacher, maybe a leader, pastor, relative, parent. And you know that they're innocent. You know it. But you know, if you speak up, then there's going to be a mark. Someone's going to put a mark against your name somewhere. So you think it's easier just to, I'll just mind my own business. I'm not going to get involved here. Well, you know what happens next. Well, you know what happens next. You might need to put it on the other side, that's it, because otherwise it's going to break his little collarbone. Good job. Man, you're a beast, Aaron. You are an absolute beast. You're a Japan. Oh, there you go. You can carry that one. There, just carry it. You good? You know, that's all right. Keep running, Aaron. Keep running. And we keep running for a little while. We keep running. And then what happens is, after a little while, Aaron's still in the race today, but then you look way around one day and Aaron is no longer there. Maybe the person that you used to sit with in church is no longer here. How did that happen? Was it because they committed adultery or murdered someone? Probably not. Not literally. But maybe with their voice, they didn't speak when they should have spoken. Or maybe they got involved in a conversation and did speak when they shouldn't have spoken. It's interesting, isn't it? Then we end up in a place in life where we're running along. And we're not meant to run like this. We're meant to run free. We're meant to be able to run and jump and leap and dance. But in the end, people like Aaron are just going to end up on the side of the road. So if we know people, friends, families who are dying spiritually or relationally because of our actions or words or attitudes, our lack thereof, what should we do, everybody? We need to own it. We've got to own it. Why don't we give it up, Aaron? Then he can run, run. Run, storm boy, run. All the way to Japan, praise God. Yeah, let's give it up, Aaron, one more time. Now, I say we need to own it because when we own it, we own it. And when we own it, how many of you know God can then begin to move in this situation? When we don't own it, you know what happens. More of the sin and the weight that so easily entangles us comes upon us to the point where we are gone as Aaron now is. But when we own it, it is then God can come into your situation. Friends, I promise you, I have no doubt about it. There are men and women all over this room today, and I know this because I know my life, I know where I've been, I know what I've done. I get it, I understand it, how we end up in situations, circumstances, where we either spoke something that we shouldn't have spoken, or we kept quiet when we should have spoken up. Friends, I want to encourage you today. We are meant to be a people of God. We are the righteousness of Christ, but I get it, and I understand it. We end up in a situation where we're carrying all this weight, but the problem is most of the time we're not even aware of it. Most of the time we don't even know it. I'm going to tell you a story today. How many of you are good for a story? All right. I like this. It's 7:10 and I'm not going north. I can hang out. I can stay here until 11:05. Praise God. Maybe not. All right. So let me tell you a story. We'll go back 15 years, 16 years. We'd been at Enjoy Church for 5 years. The reason I want to tell you this story is because it is a supernatural story. It is a miraculous. I'm going to confess my sin to you that you might not be the numbskull that I have been. All right. This story. We'd been here 5 years. I'd been under a pastor in Albury before going to Morwell for 3 years. I'd been under a pastor in Albury for 5.5 years. I loved that pastor. Great pastor. But when we left, things went a little bit awry. Skew if. I remember we were here 5 years. It was an evening service. I used to hate our evening services. They're not like the one that's starting next week. The one next week's going to be amazing, so we all should be there. But I can promise you this, our 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock services back in the day, well, there was a reason we closed them. Nobody liked them and nobody came. Moving right along. I was in there worshiping the Lord. The Lord liked them. That's why we're probably starting him again. I was over there in worship, and in worship, I really felt challenged in my spirit, stirred in my spirit, to go and visit Pastor Jason Mannering. Many of you know Pastor Jason. He's our friend from Albury, planted the church up there. 17 years ago. But Jason is in Albury. I said to Georgie, we're in worship, and I said to Georgie, I want to go and visit Jason. And she says, when do you want to go? When do you want to do that? We're literally in worship. And I said, tonight. And she goes, tonight? And I said, yeah, as soon as we finish here, I want to ring him. Back in the day when you, I want to, that's ring, ring, ring. That's why you ring. Yes, I ring him. I'm going to ring him and I'm going to ask if I can come and visit him tonight. She goes, you're crazy. And I'm like, I know you like it. And so I ran upstairs at the end of the service. I rang him, got him on the phone, said, Jason, I want to come and visit you. He's like, awesome. When do you want to come? And I said, in about 25 minutes, because I need 15 minutes to get home, 10 minutes to get a shower. We're off. All right. He goes, great, let's go. So I drove to Albury. We get to Albury. It's probably 10:30 at night by the time I got there, whatever. We go down to Sweetheart's Pizza Place. How many of you know Sweetheart's? Cold Chisel, whatever. And so we went down to Sweetheart's in Dean Street. We sat there until about 2 o'clock in the morning, just talking, celebrating, rejoicing, and singing psalms and spiritual songs to each other. It was a beautiful time. And so from there, we went home. I went to sleep on the lounge room floor. In the morning, I wake up to the sound of vomiting. Vomiting. Everybody in the house is vomiting. Jason is vomiting. Trina is vomiting. Their two daughters are vomiting. It's like, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? It's like they were vomiting together. The whole house is vomiting. How many of you know it's a really weird place to work? I'm like, what the heck? I'm out of here. And so I quickly had a shower and I said to Jason, I'll leave you guys to vomit. I'll be back later. And so I went and jumped in my car. I went and visited a friend. From there, we made a phone call. From there, I went to see another friend. When I was with that second friend, he alerted me to the fact that my senior pastor from days past was offended with me because of words that I had said. Now, I wish I could say to you, I didn't say the words that I'd been accused of saying. But I did. I said them. Don't look at me like that. I said them. I know why I said them. My heart, my responsibility. No one ever preached that sermon to me. I wish I had heard it. Maybe I should have read my Bible more often, whatever. So, my heart, my responsibility. Long story short, well, when we left, I thought it was all good. It wasn't as good as I thought. And then I heard stuff, whatever. Doesn't actually matter why. But then I got involved in a conversation with someone and I said some things that I shouldn't have said. It was out of pain. It was out of hurt. Actually, it doesn't matter what it was out of. It was the wrong thing to do. And I said it. I'm guilty as sin. Guilty as charged. And I had to own it. So, I haven't seen my pastor now for some years. Da, 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 da. What should I do? I should go to the Baxmobile and head for Melbourne. Let's get the heck out of this place. Did I do that? No. You know what I did? I went and knocked on my pastor's door. He opened the door and he goes, Shane, because that's my name. Shane. And I'm like, hey, Pastor John, how you doing? And he goes, good. And he goes, why don't you come in? I said, why don't I? So I stepped inside. For 3 hours, we talked. I told him within about 3 minutes why I was there. And we talked. We talked and we talked and we talked. I cried because that's what I do. He didn't have the air conditioner and I just cried because I was sorry. Because this man had loved me and sown into my life. And yet here I am speaking in a conversation where words I should never have spoken. It doesn't actually matter why I spoke them. It's irrelevant. I should not have spoken them. I spoke them and I had to own them. So I told him, this is the conversation. This is what I said. And I said, Pastor John, I need to ask you to forgive me because I did the wrong thing. And he was gracious and he was kind and he forgave me in that moment. Well, after the 3 hours, we hugged, we embraced, we prayed together and I said goodbye. I went and hopped in the car and I got to tell you, as I walked out of that place, I felt like Mary Poppins. I didn't have my umbrella up, but I felt like, hey, what's happened? I lost like 50 kilos in there. And I was like, I felt like Mary Poppins. I floated back to my car and I was like, what the heck is going on? I feel so good. I feel so light. I didn't even know that I'd felt heavy, but now I feel so light. I'm like, in my spirit is just rising and rising. I hop in the car and I've got this floating sensation. I drove back around to Jason and Trina's, knocked on the door and Jason and Ann said, he goes, oh, we're all feeling better. I said, good, I'm going home. And he said, but you came to see us. I said, no, I didn't. I thought I came to see you, but I came to see Pastor John. Pastor John and I have had our conversation. Now I'm going back to Melbourne. Jason, it's been awesome. I'm out of here, brother. I grab my stuff, I put it in the car, and I can promise you, this is going to sound a bit strange and a bit weird and all the rest of that. I can promise you, I drove down the Hume Highway back to Melbourne, and it felt this way. It felt that if I did not have my seatbelt on, I would have been floating on the roof of my car. And it's like, do you mean that literally? I mean that literally. As in, I rejoiced all the way home. I praised God all the way home. I thanked God all the way home that He delivered me from the sin that had so easily entangled me, and I wasn't even aware that I was carrying it. I wasn't even aware that I was burdened with it, weighed down with it. But after that encounter with my pastor, I walked out. And I say my pastor, I hadn't been under his leadership for the last 6 years, but he's still my pastor. He'd spoken the word of God into my life. He'd encouraged me when I was down. He was there for me. And so when I went back and I made it right with him, I floated, and I was like, let's just pull it off and see what happens, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't want to break the law because I don't break the law. So I left my seatbelt on and it kept me in my seat. But in my heart of hearts, I knew I was free. In my heart of hearts, I knew God did something so supernatural and wonderful. He set me free. He set me free. How many of you know Jesus is in the business of setting us free? Now, this is what I want to say to you, because some of you may be thinking about people in your life who you've spoken about. Don't go ring them up and say, hey, you know, because otherwise some of you might go home and ring up 36 people this afternoon and say, hey, just so you know, I've been telling everyone you're this and you're that and da da da. Don't do that. Seriously, don't do that. Because sometimes we hear these messages and it's like, then we want to go rectify every wrong. And so we start telling like 78 people from church, by the way, I meant, and this is what I used to say about you. Don't do that. If you've done something to someone and they know it and you know it, you got to own it. You go back and you make it right. But if they don't know, don't ruin their day to make you feel better. Don't ruin their day, but make it right with God. Go into the presence of God. Come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I overstepped the mark. Lord, won't you forgive me? We cried, we talked, I apologized. My sin wasn't murder and it wasn't adultery, but regardless, I still had to own it. And when I owned it, Jesus set me free. Church, when we don't own it, the sin that so easily entangles us, the sin that weighs us down through our actions, words, attitudes, whether we know it or not, the consequences of that sin will take us out of the race. But when we own it, we can get free. We can get free. This is a strange message, but I promise you this, if you will own it, you can get free. As a worship team come, why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Strange message. How many of you, don't raise your hand, have been involved in conversations? You didn't say anything, but you just turned away. You're in it. You're thinking, well, I didn't do it. You need to own it. If you were in it, you were in it. Did you say, that's not the way we do it around here. Bible says if your brother offends you, you go to them. Doesn't say you go to your little group. If your brother offends you, you go to them. You have a latte. Because latte fixes everything. You get it right. You go on the journey. How many of you have been in that conversation, listening, and then participated? Actually joined in the conversation. Said things you shouldn't have said. Went to places you shouldn't have gone to. How many of you have been in scenarios where someone's going to get the blame for something and you know that they're innocent? But you know if you raise your hand, it may actually cause the heat to come on you. So you don't say anything. Knowing the right thing to do and not doing it is sin. Not doing it. I'm like, man, I can't win here. If you know me, that would probably be true. Always a little bit cheeky, which gets me into trouble. But then when I don't do things, I get into trouble too. If I'm going to get into trouble, I'd rather get into trouble with men and be seen as righteous in the eyes of God. At the end of the day, this is not a popularity contest. We're not going to get to heaven and Jesus say to us, well, how many friends did you have on earth? It's like 6,370. Whoa, you did good. Not like that other guy. He only had 130. If the guy who had 130 lived righteously, he's right in the eyes of God. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, you just lived in a place of compromise. You entangled yourself in all sorts of nonsense and all sorts of rubbish. That's if you get there. I can say this, and I say it with all sincerity. I do not believe Enjoy Church would be the church that we are today if I did not have a moment with my pastor. I had to have that moment. I was not even aware of the weight that I'd been carrying. I was not aware of the burden that was upon me until I hopped back in the car. I could feel it in my steps back to the car. Like, what just happened? I could feel it. I hopped in the car, but when I hopped in the car on the other side of Jason's house to start driving back to Melbourne, oh my Lord, what is happening here? As in, I could literally float. I could have floated to the roof. Why did the Lord reveal that to me? The Lord revealed it in such a supernatural, spiritual way that I might always know when I'm getting myself involved in that stuff, either by being engaged in it through my actions, my words, or my attitudes, or through not speaking when I should be speaking, through not engaging when I should be engaging, through not acting when I know I should be acting, when I'm quiet when I should be speaking, when I'm speaking when I should be quiet. I believe the Lord wanted me to know, Shane, you go down this path. That weight will take you out. He delivered me from something I didn't even know I needed to be delivered from. And the reason I want to bring this message so clearly to us today is so that we might know what to step away from, that we might know when to speak up and say, no, we're not going to do that around here. You can do this, do it like this. No, we don't do that here. If you've got something to say to someone, you go to them. We don't do that here. When we know someone is getting the finger pointed at them, we say, hey, no, so there we do. If you feel that, you need to go speak to them. You have the conversation. Husbands and wives, your words, you kill each other with your words. You may not murder each other, praise God. Don't kill each other with your words. Don't stab your spouse. This is their soft spot. No. Sometimes, you know, the kids aren't here, so I can just speak freely. Is that okay? Sometimes we just want to go straight to the makeup part. I'd be saying, we're not making up anything until you own it. So, oh, here we go. You got to own it. Own it, then make up. Hallelujah, it's a blessing of marriage. Joy to the Lord. Don't go straight to the makeup without owning it. Don't cut each other down and just move on. We wonder why we have dysfunctional families. It's because we have dysfunctional marriages. We're going today, aren't we? We have dysfunctional marriages. We just think this is normal. It ain't normal. And it ain't kingdom. It ain't normal and it ain't God. You know, Pastor Mick was at the same, I was at a celebration last night for someone's 50th birthday. A wonderful time, wonderful brother. And you weren't there, but he thanked us in his speech for being an example. I wouldn't say we're the greatest example, but what I'd say of both Mick and myself, to the best of our ability, we own our stuff. You as a church, you've heard me apologize to you. I've had people say, you don't need to say sorry for that. And I said, I felt I did. We should always own it. Own it. This is what we're going to do. I want to pray for every man, every woman. As you're here and you're hearing this word, I'm sure many of you have got conversations. It's like, has somebody told him what we said? I can promise you, I never speak into situations. If there's one person, five people in a room that are involved in something I've heard about, I'm never going to speak to that. You don't all come to hear that. You come to hear the word of the Lord. It's not my responsibility. If I got an issue with someone, I'll go to them. I'll never use this platform for that. But I will use this platform to teach the word of God. What I find interesting is so often after the service, people come up and say, it was like you were just speaking to me. And I was like, no, it's like God is speaking to you. I reckon there'd be all sorts of situations and all sorts of scenarios in this room where you know your brothers and sisters have worn it like the priest did. Because you were involved in a conversation or you didn't get involved in a conversation or because you participated in something or you saw something and didn't speak up. For some of you, you'd be very aware of it. I know there's a couple of situations and I've had to deal with them with the Lord over the years where I did speak up. I thought I was doing the right thing, but really I just put my foot right in it really badly, trying to help a scenario out. My Lord, shut up, Shane. Just hold your tongue. And then I carried it. I shouldn't have gone there. Shouldn't have gone there. Didn't trust God enough, so I did it. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I reckon there'd be people all over this room and you know I was involved in that conversation. I didn't speak, but I was involved in it. I did speak. You can't escape it. This is the sin that so easily entangles us. It's not murder and it's not adultery. It's true. But in the eyes of the Lord, sin is sin. And that's the sin that so easily entangles us because we don't see it as being sin. But it is. We're going to worship the Lord. Come now. We're going to sing that song, Come Now. I know there's a different morning for us, but I really feel a breakthrough is in the air for so many people. And this series, it's not going to be the all in all. But I promise you this, if you can hear the words that have come the last 2 weeks and this week and say, yeah, Lord, I'm hearing you, and respond to him, respond to him. I had to go back to my pastor and repent, ask for his forgiveness. I had to repent to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness. And he was gracious and he was kind. And the Lord was gracious and he was kind. This is what I want to do. If you're here today and you're saying, Shane, I'm carrying this or I'm carrying this or I'm carrying this. Because I know that as I've been speaking, the Lord has been speaking to many of you in this room about things that have happened, conversations with parents, family members, grandparents, aunties, uncles, work colleagues. I'm smiling on the inside because Maddie, who's not in church at the moment, she's spends more time with you people than I do, which is really weird. But she's not in church. She told me the other day she came home a little bit cranky from work. And she said, Dad, I was in the office and this guy was talking about this other guy and all the staff members were laughing. And I just turned around and basically with a raised voice said, stop it. And he looked at her and said, what's it got to do with you? She said, everything. She said, this is our workplace. And if he speaks against you, I'll tell him to stop it. You should stop it. And he just looked at her and goes, fair enough. She's got a spunk. We need to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to open up this altar call. We're going to sing this song. And if you're in a place where it's like, you know you're being weighed down, you don't even know what by, come to the Lord, let him reveal it to you so you can repent of it. Maybe you're in this room and it's like, yeah, I've been involved in too much stuff and I know I'm carrying it. I want to give it to Jesus today. I'm not going to ask you what it is. So if you do step forward, no one's going to know where you've been, what you've been doing. No one knows your conversations. No one knows where it's at. I'm not going to ask you about that. That's between you and God. It's between you and God. And I'm not asking you to go home today and ring everybody up. If the people that you have been speaking about are aware of it, then yeah, own it. Bring them up and own it with them and say, I am so sorry. I went somewhere I shouldn't have gone. It doesn't actually matter why. All I want to say to you is, I'm sorry. I went there and I don't want to go there. I'm asking you to forgive me. But before we go there, let's come into the presence of God. Let's make it right with God. Let's get it right in this place that He might take that burden of sin off us, that weight of sin off us. So if you're here today, church, and you're saying, yep, that's me. I got some things that I need to give to Jesus. I want to give to Jesus. I want you to jump out of your seat right now and just come to the altar. Just come, just come. Let's worship Him. Speak to us, Lord. We're ready. Come on, Lord.